the network for the AV industry.
What are you listening to?
This
is AV.
This is AV Nation.
This is AV Nation.
This is AV Week, episode 95, recorded Friday, June 14th, 2013. Infocom 2013, part 1.
Ready.
AV Week.
Performing scan.
Brain Week.
Online.
This is AV Week.
It's time for AV Week, your weekly wrap-up of audiovisual news and information. My name is Tim Albright, and I'm your host. Welcome, by the way, to Infocom 2013. We are recording to you live from Infocom 2013. There's only three of us here, so don't get so excited. Actually, good Lord, somebody should fire the producer of this show, because I have entirely too many people in the next 2 hours. So,
yeah, good luck.
Good luck. It sucks, though, because I'm the producer. So, hey, let's go around the room, around the table. It will change as the next few minutes go on. So we'll introduce people as they come and jump on. To my immediate left, the lovely and talented AV Dawn, also known as Dawn Mead from NetAV. Welcome, ma'am.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Also is Matt Scott's hair and the body that comes with it. Matt Scott from Omega Audio Video. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great.
To his immediate left, the lack of hair is George Tucker. And he's just everything. He's world stage. So how are you?
I am. I've seen way too much of you this week, so that's all I have to say.
You know what? If we were we should do video eventually one of these days.
We'll get there.
Actually, we talked to some people. We might do video.
We got some people here. Well, even yeah. We might have some guests in the room.
By the way, you hear, that disembodied voice, he's a sound guy now.
Disembodied?
Well, it's an audio podcast.
Oh,
so
that's right. Yes, I guess it would be.
His name is Michael Drainer. He does something with Sennheiser, I'm sure, or at least he gets a paycheck from him. So,
for
how
now.
Are you?
Excellent.
Good.
Until I say something stupid.
Yeah, he has something called an anaconda they're showing this week. We'll talk about that.
Actually, I will show my anaconda to anybody who wants to see it.
I have written a blog post about this some months ago, and I tied the anaconda in a knot. The pictures on the blog. It's very cool. And last but not least, at least rounding out this, is Mr. Chris Netto from AV Help Desk and Red Band and all kinds of sorts of other stuff.
I'm here as a teleprescence robot, so I'm actually not in the room.
He's really disembodied.
You're really disembodied. Yeah, that's one of the cool things we'll talk about. So we are at Infocom, right? It's Infocom 2013. This year is in Orlando. I said this the other day. Orlando's kind of grown on me. I don't know what it is. We've gone to some really cool places after hours. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's the fact that I have all you really cool people to hang out with.
Maybe it's the humidity and everything's just sticking to you.
Yeah.
It's a wet. Wet.
That's why it's growing on you.
That's why it's growing.
Yeah, it's a lot of
legs. All right. So what we'll do is that was Kevin. For some reason, Kevin Iselli walked in the room, and he's from Crestron. He's really smart.
The best part is he walked in, and the first thing he did, other than wave to me, was smack Michael in the head.
Because he knows Michael.
It was a form of endearing.
No,
of
he knows gesture, at some point you probably needed a good smack on the head.
Yeah,
so.
That's true. My wife's not here to do it, so somebody had to.
Exactly. Navy Nation does not condone violence. But
unless it's against
no,
Michael
but we
Turner.
Support it.
There you go.
Somebody give me a hint?
Yes. Oh. Hit Michael.
No, not you. You're from Jersey. A horse is going to lose its head. That's all I got to say.
And it will end up in a mailbox.
Dawn, we're going to start with you, ladies first. Just like we did last year at Infocom, what have you seen? What's knocked your socks off?
Well, I was pretty excited about the telepresent robots.
Which was from?
From Beam.
Yep.
And, you know, I've always been a fan. Every year I've come to Infocom, I say the best thing you can do, even if you have appointments, even if you have relationships with the big guys, go to the back of the hall. Go find the little 5x5, 10x10 booths in the back. You don't know what cool stuff you're going to find, what the new technology might be in 5 years that you'll be selling a billion of that right now is like a nobody in the back. So go to the back of the room. In the back of the room, we found Beam. They make telepresence robots. If you've watched The Big Bang Theory, it's the Sheldon bot.
Sheldon Cooper.
The best part is the CEO of the company was in the booth. He was the only live human in the booth that wasn't telepresenced in from their California offices. the Sheldon bot in the episode of Big Bang Theory was one of their prototypes of the product that they're showing here. So
product placement at its
best. Yeah, fantastic. Right. So, because we said, oh, it's just like the Sheldon bot. He says, yeah, that was one of our early versions. And these suckers were cool. They let you drive them. They had one in their California office that you could take a turn driving with remotely. And then their entire staff was present at the show, but not in person.
So you know my favorite part, when I went to get lunch this afternoon, the Beam telepresence robot was standing in line to get barbecue. I don't know what she was going to do with it, but she was there.
Yeah, it really is. When you're talking to the people in California via these telepresence machines, it was like you're talking to a person. They're built, you know, ergonomically to the right height. They, you know, they size, he was telling us, they size the faces and the cameras and everything exactly so that it's as though you're having a real conversation. It's not the giant talking head on the wall. It's as though you're having a real conversation. And I think they practice this, but the people in California, as you were talking, the robots would shift a little bit, like, you know, like you're shifting your feet. And I mean, it's really incredible.
Did you notice, and I don't know because I didn't see the on the show floor, but I actually got to talk with them, and Scott Hansen from them from Beam will come around here in about an hour or so. They have stereophonic microphones. So as a user on the far end, you can tell if someone's talking to you on the left-hand side or the right-hand side of your body, your thing.
Right.
So they can turn the right direction.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
So they're very nifty. A lot of fun.
The Beam. Yeah. All right, Mr. Scott, what was your one or two things that you were like, holy cow?
I had a lot of fun in the audio demos, as I usually do. But probably the coolest thing that I can take home and use right away would be the Ultinex Muse product, which is allowing you to send not only power, 150 watts of 110, over a single Cat 6, but also, you know, source, net and control over one stinking cable.
Wow.
So they had a lovely 20 by 20 booth and brought one product. Yes, you got the product sheet right there. I'm not going to read from it because
Mr. AV Don to the
that's not what we do on this show. That's a press release.
We don't do press releases, but I love the pictures.
Hang on. Here's the my question for you though is that, and I think I asked this off the air, is that HD-based T? Is it AVB or is it something?
It's their homebrew.
Okay.
They wouldn't tell me.
You've got to give them credit.
They're
though.
Just mean.
It's stinking awesome.
You know that they make other products.
Yeah.
But they said, screw it. I'm showing up with one product. My booth is changing colors. I'm looking for Ultinex, which is typically a green logo. I can't find it. And there it is, bright yellow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you and I were looking for it together. I had my phone out with the Infocom app, which is great.
I'm looking at the map
and looking at Chris and going, it's right here.
We're supposed to be right here.
Where the heck is it? And then finally it's like, Muse, Ultinex, Muse. I'm like,
Is that what, because I saw the big Muse.
Oh. Yeah. Yes.
That's what confused me, because it just said it's huge, like it says Muse.
They showed one awesome product that worked and is going to make a bunch of us a lot of money.
Good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Mr. AV Don, he'll be on a little bit later to talk about it, I'm sure. But he was like but giddy like a little girl when he saw it. He was like, this is awesome.
So what else is new?
Mr. AV Don is our unofficial, official alternate board member. So.
He's the understudy.
He's my understudy.
When Michael
can't make it. The understudy.
Only when I'm not here.
No, if anybody can't make it. If I can't make it, he can be me.
All right.
We're about the same age.
But you never not make it.
We're about the same age, same height. Unfortunately for him, he's the same sizes on George Tucker, what was one or two things that hit you, dude?
We talked about this on Red Band as well, but I got to go see.
Hey, time out. You talked about what on where?
On what and who?
On who? You had what?
Red Band has.
What
a
is
podcast.
That? They do.
Do you want to talk about it?
Sure.
Now?
You brought it up, brother.
I know. It's the Red Band boys doing a podcast on AV Nation.
That's. First time ever.
You told me you were going to hijack something.
Hey, we did. You weren't here. We changed the lock on the door so you wouldn't come in while we were doing it.
You taught me how to run the board, you know.
Yeah, I did unfortunately do that.
At heart, I am a 16-year-old boy. What's going to happen? What do you think?
Sorry.
You mean you didn't bring your intern?
Yeah, exactly.
We sat in here. We closed the door. We made sure nobody was listening and that the people next door weren't paying attention. And we sat down and we talked about, what the show was like, and we covered about 100 different topics, and I think we may have went over, but you know what? It was good. It was fun, and we were calm and
cool.
And
you weren't yourselves.
Yeah, I did. Don't you believe it? My yourselves. Stomach still hurts from laughing so hard during that show.
All right, so go ahead. Now that we've got that nice...
I mean, I come from a different perspective, obviously, because I'm in the event staging theatrical world now. And so lots of LED panels, lots of really cool stuff there.
By the way, you were great in Pirates in the Penzance.
Thank you. Thank you. I am the very model of a major modern general.
That wasn't the part we thought you played.
I still own the tights. I do.
Just
don't go with the whole Hello Kitty headphones I have.
Yes, he has. In case anybody, what was that? Was that on a Hangout or was that on a show? That
I
was,
can't recall. It was a
Hangout.
They all play together.
They do. So we should start recording our Hangouts. But go ahead.
I'm sure there'll be pictures posted. I'll have to wear them. I bought them and I will wear them.
I bought them so that you would wear them. You promised.
I've lost my place now. No, I've seen lots of LED panels, yes, which are of interest to us. But I did stop by the TIO.
Yes.
The rebirth, the phoenix of Colorado VNet. They had one item to show. Two items, I suppose, if you count the droid phablet that they were showing how it would work. And they had a controller that you would put in a black box, and they're telling us by Cydia. It was a very interesting thing to look at, but I don't know what it is yet. It's vaporware to me still. So very excited, very interested. I'd love to have them on to talk about it. But again, in the back booth, back there by the rest of them, they were there. Other than that, I was looking at the 4K stuff. Again, I've mentioned before, the Christie 4K projector. Even though it looks like a refrigerator with some vents on it right now.
It's beautiful.
It is beautiful. The content was gorgeous.
And yeah, 4K has the content. And they were a lot of the places were playing the exact same content.
Yeah.
The owl with the snow on it. But all of them looked very, very nice.
Yeah.
It made me want to buy an Audi.
Yeah, and then it was the 84-inch panel.
It did.
An Audi. Nice.
Oh, well, yes, because they were showing the thing they were showing design the studio Audi, yes. Where they were doing projection mapping onto a model, which is in my wheelhouse what we do.
Really,
but it was really cool.
Really sexy.
He's more about the Audi, though.
It was sexy.
The technology was sexier than the Audi.
The technology was sexier than the Audi. Mr. Sennheiser, besides the Anaconda that you boys were showing, and we'll talk about that in a second, what kind of – did you see anything on the show? You're a vendor this year, dude. You're an exhibitor.
Man, I'll tell you what. That's been the tough part for me this year is I've been really married to the demo room and to the booth this year and haven't been able to branch out a whole lot. So it's been really painful being the – It has. So really, the Anaconda, right?
Okay,
We're really hoping this thing's going to get best of show. I know it's between this and the Beam Robot and a couple of other things that are really making some waves, but Anaconda has had so much interest, and the guys at KRA of Florence, Italy have done just such a stellar job on this product. So many applications, it really unmentionable, the things that people have come up with and ideas. So that and, just kind of talking along with these guys, I'm hoping to get to the back of the room before the end of the day and see what else is going on and look at some of the new innovators that are out there.
Yeah, real quickly, I'll put a link to my horrible blog about the Anaconda, but it's a flexible array. You know, you can take the sucker and you can bend it, and I did.
It's IP55 rated, so you can use it outdoors. Yeah. It's got 1-inch drivers. It'll get up to almost 100 decibel. I mean, it's really a versatile product. Can be used in a multitude of applications.
Comes with two socks that you can put
on. It does. And Tim tried them on.
Can we
They're
bracket
like dancers' tights?
Can we bracket this with like client or employee?
Client or employee?
Yes. All right, Mr. Netto.
Thank you, Mr. Scott. That was good.
I like everybody else, telepresence robots, and obviously the Muse. I thought was a very, very, very interesting product. And it's funny that, we're sitting here and we're all geeked out over a thing that sends power. It would be in our nature to do that.
Power.
Power over Cat 6.
Just wait till it's wireless.
If you're gonna ask
Shut
me, maybe the.
Let the man talk.
You know what? I like the Clear One product that they have with the Beam Array microphones. I saw them yet last year. They've improved it. They made it a little better. And what are you looking at me like that?
No,
for?
Go ahead. I'm not. Keep talking.
I thought you were giving me the scolded thing.
No.
I'm telling you. Keep going. It's radio. Okay. Fill the air.
It's okay. We're going to fill the air. The Line Array by Clear One looks really sharp. I like that a lot. There's definitely some pretty slick displays. The untouchable Sony OLED in the front with the guarded gates was really hot would be the word.
Good hot. Looking. Hot?
I don't know. What do the kids say these days?
You're from Jersey. It's hot.
that's bad, dude.
That's hot.
Bad stuff. That's
okay, you know what, dude? I'm from St. Louis. All right. I'm in broadcasting school. They told me I had the perfect accent. Because I'm not from the Northeast, I'm not from the Southwest, I'm not, you know, all this jazz. I have the perfect accent.
Excellent.
Because I don't have an accent, apparently, so.
But yeah, that was it. We probably can go on and on and on.
Yeah.
Some interesting stuff.
Although, real quick, one thing that I loved, and there was a lot of, like to George's point, there was a lot of great 4K stuff at the show. One thing I loved was Planar had a 4K multi-touch that's shipping. The one thing I Infocom is, sorry to all you manufacturers in the room, but it's great when you show stuff that you're working
don't say,
on.
No, hang on. Don't say sorry. This is feedback.
All right. I'm an integrator. So all you manufacturers in the room, it's great when you show us what you're working on. It's great when you show us your new technology, but when you tell us it's not available till fourth quarter next year, it really doesn't help me. You know, I got customers. We got needs. We got to do stuff. This thing was shipping, and it was sexy, you know? So that's, like, I loved them. I've never sold a thing of theirs in my life, I don't think. But I was like, I'm ready. Sign me up, because it's awesome.
I'll add to that shipping thing with the, I guess, invasion of the link room systems and all that sort of stuff in the past. That's a lot of it has been promised, and we're going there and where it's happening. And you're seeing now products coming up, such as the Crestron RL and the products that Vadio brings to the table to be agnostic to what you want to see. And those are working, operational, they're ready to go. Demos are set for us to go to the sites to go take a look at this stuff. It's not just theory anymore.
Yeah, and vaporware, no good. For reals. Give us
absolutely.
For reals.
All right, guys. We're gonna switch out some folks, and I'll introduce some folks too. With us, joining us now, is Steve Ellis, the CEO of BroadcastPIC. Welcome, sir.
Great. Thank you very much.
Also with us, I'm sorry, the gentleman from Avenue Alliance. I've already hold up your tag here.
Lee.
Well, Lee, what company are you from?
I'm from LabX Technologies.
LabX. Also with us is our host for this week, Mr. Brad Grimes. Thank you so much. Brad is the senior writer and editor of Infocom. He's our host for this week. So
thanks for having me back here.
Absolutely. We've been honored enough to make the Infocom Today podcast. We made three of them this week, and Brad's been with us every step of that way. And so thank you guys. And my good friend, how are you, brother?
I feel like I lost a bet.
Why?
That walk.
Well, that's Brad.
Sorry, our bad.
Well, actually, this gentleman here is Kevin Iselli. I always forget your title. He's a muckety muck at Crestron. So
that'll work. No,
you said, why did I say sales manager?
That's because that's how they have me on the system.
Okay. Yeah. Well, no, he teaches DM classes, and the only thing I have to say you complaining about your walk is you had
mine
a class.
Mine was farther.
Yours was farther.
Yeah, my pedometer. I looked at it. It said overachiever.
Oh, geez, Louise. All right, guys. Let's do this here real quick. Steve, we'll hit with you first. What does BroadcastPIC do?
Well, BroadcastPIC has been in business for about 10 years. We build an integrated production solution. It's switcher, CG, clip players. So if you're at a producer show and you want to have end-to-end workflow, that's kind of what we do right now. At this show, we launched a new product, added shipping. It's called Flint. We've actually had 30 or 40 units in the field already. What's different about this product is that we've actually added a layer of what I'll call web and net-ready tools. So if you're doing a live production and you're in the field, you can actually drop a file into Dropbox. It'll show up in your clip player, and you take it to air. You can use Google Drive. We've incorporated watch folders into our switcher, so you can actually use anything that's net, file, video-based in that case. And it also streams out the back. Our starting price for the solution with the server complete, control by touch panel, control by iPad, control by a virtual control system, is $8,500. So it's a full production end-to-end solution. Then we have control surfaces, control panels, and switchers. But we kind of designed it to be sold more broadly than most of our stuff is. Mm. We've been more traditionally seen as a broadcast-centric company, but we're really kind of trending to reach out to more schools, more universities, go further down market with our products. So
this isn't your first time at Infocom, is it?
I was actually, this is my first time in 10 years. I've actually just joined the company 4 months ago.
I mean Broadcast Picks.
Oh, no. They've been here many, many years. Yeah. So this is the first year we brought what I consider end-to-end solutions to the company. Yeah. But I do want to mention something that you said about another product, the telepresence robots.
Yes.
I have a lot of salespeople. I could replace those guys. Well, I save workman's comp and unemployment insurance and all that kind of.
See, you can't actually replace them. You need to have them there.
Somebody's got
to
drive
the office.
Right. I'm sorry. I couldn't help myself.
No. I've got him covered here. He hires one person and fires 10.
Right.
And then you just never mind. Nick.
Oh, so you can't run 10 at once.
No, all I have to say is go close that deal, and it won't give me any grief, right? Yeah. I just sound like that. So.
Well, you could do that.
Yeah. You'll just save flight costs.
Yes, that's right.
I'll take one of those.
I drove one the other day. I actually interviewed the guy that's coming by, and it's kind of neat. It's kind of neat.
No, I mean, I like to replace myself with one of those.
Kind of like the
sit at home, right?
That Bruce Willis, the Bruce Willis movie. What was it? Never mind. Brad, what's your week been like besides crazy?
It's been great. I mean, this has been, and before I was at Infocom, I used to come here all the time in another capacity, and I think this is one of the best shows that I've ever been to, just from an enthusiasm point of view and the mix of people. You know, throughout this week, you and I have talked about the fact that we've always hoped that a lot more of the technology managers would start coming, and the people who really specify and drive a lot of the product innovation, you know, through their requests. I mean, they give unfettered feedback. It's really great. And the feeling that we got was that a lot of them came out. A lot of them came here. Tim, you know, because you were working a lot with the Technology Managers Council and the Technology Managers Symposium, both successful events. Mm-hmm. And I was on the show floor talking to several people who said the same thing, that a lot of people who are really interested in deploying solutions were on the show floor. So, you know, it's fun when we see new technology and we talk to each other about it, but it's twice as fun when people are there getting excited about what they can do with it. And we saw a lot of it, and that was the feedback we got on the show floor.
Yeah, I'm going to come back to you because I'm going to try to squirm out of you the numbers. Lee, talk to me about Avenue Alliance for a second. I had a very nice tour.
Great.
I have not been, I'll just be frank, I have not been the AVB's biggest cheerleader in the last few years, simply because my mantra has always been show me the V. And so this year you guys kind of did with Barco. Yes. and some of the stuff that was in the Avenue Alliance.
Correct.
Pavilion.
Correct. So Avenue Alliance, we're a consortium of manufacturers, equipment manufacturers, silicon vendors who are out to promote audio-video bridging. And our big wheelhouse there is the certification of the interoperability of that. And I'm glad we could kind of answer your question about, at least start to answer that question, where the V in video and AVB is.
Hmm. Talk about the certification process, because that was the one thing that I kind of hooked into.
Yeah.
You have at the University of New Hampshire, basically, and what I said was, and I apologize actually, because my buddy Kevin is the one who told me about this word first, a plug fest.
Yes.
What you have is a scientific plug fest at the University of New Hampshire.
I guess I would clarify that a little. So we have plug fests. Plug fests are sort of an ad hoc thing where, as the name implies, you bring together a bunch of equipment and you plug it together and you make sure that it all works. What we're doing at the University of New Hampshire Interoperability Lab is sort of hardcore certification. So, I hate to say that C word in certain contexts. It's similar to like UL, FCC, things like this. This is for the network portion of that. So it's very structured. You hand over your device. It runs through a battery of tests, and you get a passing score or not.
Or not. And if you don't, you don't get the sticker.
That's right. That's right. So that is a little different than a plug fest.
Yeah.
But we do both of them, and both of them at UNH.
Oh, very good. Mr. Iselli.
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, wonderful.
How's your voice? How's your feet? You need a massage?
Correct.
Don can give you a massage.
Hello? No. Don gets massages.
Oh, Don gets. I'm sorry. See, I didn't read the memo right. Let's talk about Crestron for a second, and then I'll ask you what you...
I'm done talking about
Crestron.
No, based on the comment earlier about what did we see, I just want to props to Sony for actually manning up and bringing an OLED out to the show.
Yes, you just couldn't touch it or do anything with it.
Yeah, not that no one's ever seen it before or put YouTube videos up there. So as long as you were posing in front of it, you could take pictures all day long.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So fantastic, though.
No, it's not. You're being sarcastic.
No, it was very good. It was one of the best pictures, I think, on the floor. The
really? Oh, no. I would agree with that, but the question is whether or not it actually, like to Don's point, ships.
What difference does that make?
It makes a big difference because I've been waiting for 10 years for my OLED.
Well,
that's different. Now, I've been waiting as long myself.
Come on.
It's a concept vehicle. You can't buy a Prowler the year they show it.
Do they still make Prowlers?
No, okay.
Steve, what have you seen on the show floor, or have you been kind of...
No, I actually make a point of going out, looking at other products, making sure that my product has the right workflow.
Right.
Because sometimes we kind of miss the point. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in our own manufacturing things. There's quite a few things that I saw, but actually the thing I liked the best, I actually bought it. It was it was a little Bluetooth speaker device. There's no real speaker. It's sort of a weighted magnet. You put it on a table, it turns the table into a speaker. I thought that was pretty neat. So
wow.
Where was that?
It was in that back of the hall where you were you were talking about little things in a little 5x all the way against the back wall. I look at things that tend to fit into our workflow. I kind of seek those things out. You know, production trucks, shipping cases. I mean, kind of boring stuff. But I did want to mention one thing about we do have an option that you mentioned in the beginning about doing video on your show.
Mm-hmm.
We actually have an option called Box, and what Box does is you put cameras around the table, and it automatically switches our production tools. So you actually do live switching of your radio environment, and so when you want to do your podcast, you could actually do it in video without actually doing anything. So, just
where's my engineer? Plug.
That means they would know what we.
Where's my engineer? Did he already leave for Sennheiser? He did, didn't he?
So I thought I'd mention that. We'll have a little plug at the end there.
That's good. We'll have to talk.
No, but then I'll have to do my hair and makeup to do podcasts.
I'm sorry. And you can't do it in the car anymore either.
And just a quick interjection. I thought the show was really busy. My first show was 10 years ago. I haven't been here since. 10 years ago, it was a whole different venue. I was blown away by the displays. I mean, I do the bigger, the big different shows, NAB, InterB in Japan, and I was the booths here are amazing looking. Just all the LED stuff is, it was very unique to me. So I was kind of enamored with the whole show.
Yeah, it's great.
It was very, very good.
But well, thank you very much for coming on, Steve.
My pleasure.
Lee, real quick, what company? Talk about your company real quick and what
sure.
you guys brought.
Sure. So LabX Technologies, we're an engineering design partner. So we're not really a manufacturer per se, but we work with manufacturers. So a lot of, we kind of like to say a lot of things with network jacks on them, we're sort of the skunkworks engineers behind them. So kind of behind the scenes, low profile, but promoting technology.
All right. And what have you seen this year at Infocom?
I've covered a lot of miles. You know, my day job is going to manufacturer to manufacturer to manufacturer and talking shop. I thought those displays were really impressive as well. I want to give a thanks to Infocom. We're in a unique position in the Avenue Alliance because we're a nonprofit pavilion, and you guys help us out a lot. So, thank
you. Pleasure.
You guys.
Yeah, thank you. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Steve. Lee, good Lord. All right, Mr. Iselli. What has Crestron done this year?
Well, in my corner, of course, we're showcasing the DM64x64 and the yet to be released. Sorry, don't. Coming September to a rack near you or a room near you, the 128x128, our full DM matrix switchers that are supporting both fiber, multi-mode, and single mode. As well as we're in development for a 4K HDMI blade and a copper solution for distribution as well. The unique part about those guys is that they actually include all of the tools that you need right in the front panel interface. So you technically just plug this thing in, don't even need to connect your computer to it, and it's a working operational system.
Plug and go.
Yeah.
You guys have done some, and this is not new, but last year actually I think was when you kind of said, you know what DM is HD based T now. Mm-hmm. Talk about that for a second about how important that is, not just for Crestron, but for the industry where we've got, and don't yell at me because I'm going to say the word standards, we've got a standard where we can extend HD signals, right?
Sure. Well, what part do you want to be specific on? The conversation that HD based T is an HDMI eliminator is a little bit not exactly clear.
Not in a limiter, but okay, so it has distance limitations, right? It inherent
well, yeah,
to the product.
Distance limitation, HDMI spec to 30 feet, right? But understand that HDBaseT or the VSS chip that we use is actually fed from HDMI.
Okay.
Right, so it's more of a predicator of HDMI than it is an eliminator. What it will have impact on is the infrastructure, right? You're now talking about being able to use existing infrastructure, you know, Category 5e cable or twisted pair cabling, as opposed to the HDMI type infrastructure. It doesn't mean I've gotten rid of HDMI, because HDMI is still the front end of both ends of the chip,
yeah.
Right? So what it does mean, though, is we do have for installation, especially commercially or distribution-wise, we have a lot of very easy-to-use options then. And now I'm not talking Crestron, I'm talking the industry. We have a skill set, right? We've got people who are trained on how to do the installations. So now it's just a matter of plugging in the ends and being happy with it.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's definitely a benefit, we say that.
Well, I certainly think it is. All right, we've got a couple more gentlemen. We have three more gentlemen joining us. First, my buddy, Mr. Craig McCormick from Commercial Integrator. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Absolutely. How's your week gone?
It was busy, but this is a good way to end it.
I think so. You've got a plane to catch, so we're going to try to get you out of here. And two gentlemen from Marshall Electronics talking about two different products. Which one do we have here? Nigel.
Yes.
Nigel, I talked to you on the phone. How are you, sir?
You did indeed.
Nigel Hamley, and also Devin. Did I say that right?
Absolutely.
Good. Chris. Sometimes I'm bad about names, so not as bad as George Tucker is, but pretty bad.
Wow.
Yeah, well, you know what? Wow. It's a party.
I thought we were friends.
Well, we are.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
It's this. Yeah.
Forget that guy.
Yeah. So, Craig, you're the reporter. You're the only, you and Brad are like, you know, there's a reason I have you two on. You give me credibility.
We try.
What have you seen? What have you seen that's kind of said, oh my gosh, that's a leap forward?
Well, we talked some. You and I talked some about Wirestorm,
mm-hmm.
and their HDBaseT products. They're starting to roll out quite a bit of them. They're touting themselves as having, if not the most, among the most in the industry right now. And they're all digital products. Derek Hulbert from there talks about how he can't believe how many analog products that still exist here in the U.S. He's European, so he has a little bit of a different mentality than some of the manufacturers around here, I think. So that I think that's pretty exciting, the advance of HDBaseT and kind of where that's going to go. It sounds like a lot of manufacturers are starting to embrace that and understand a little bit more about it and realize that it's going to be here to stick around for quite a while.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it will, at least. We'll talk. Yes, sir?
Yeah, you think about HDBaseT as a deployment, though. Crestron's in its third year of deploying it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Ever since the introduction of 8G, it's the same chipset. It's the same thing. So
it's a three-year. It's a three-year-old product.
We've had it out for 3 years already.
Uh-huh. Well, and actually, to Craig's point, so Wirestorm has also had it for 2 years.
Well, what
3 years?
Is it?
Be quiet.
No, what? I got a bus.
You have a bus?
No, I have a bus to catch.
Oh.
No, you know that thing that has the big Crestron logo on it?
Yes.
The booth area. Yeah, I got to take that apart.
It'll still be there. Randy's taking it down now.
No, so. He's not.
So he was supposed to be here at 2. So, Nigel, first of all, tell me about what Marshall Electronics, who they are, if you're not familiar with them. I mean, I know you guys from monitors. That's where I know you.
Okay. Well, Marshall Electronics is quite an old company by the industry standards, probably close to 30 years. Privately held, famous. Devin will talk more about monitors, but famous for the first company ever to make a flat panel monitor in a professional format to fit a rack. Has a multitude of divisions. It has a great audio division, which is used by many major famous recording artists. We are the second largest OEM of lenses, used in things like the rear view of cars made in Germany. And we have a whole wire assembly plant that makes cable harnesses from Mogami, and probably fairly famous. Most of our integrators, I'm sure, have heard of Mogami, as it's probably the premier audio cable, and we actually make pre-made cable harnesses in an entirely separate facility. And we have a digital signs division now, which we've really made some strides. It seemed to be the merge of some computer technology and our screen technology to make the hardware for digital signs. And Barry Goldstein has been running the Infocom digital sign pavilion for Infocom at the show, and he's very involved with that.
Is that something that just came out of, like, you have good monitors, so let's get some software going?
Sort of, yeah, pretty much. We thought, here we got all this skill set in making monitors, here's all this digital sign stuff, and hey, it's a screen, so we're in the screen business, so let's make a screen. And I guess you can probably talk about digital sign stuff.
I could say the request for that and the design for that came from us going out and talking to systems integrators and listening to their frustrations. And the frustration was that they might go out and buy a very cheap monitor, but to get the housing that would come around it, they would spend $500, $600 to be able to design that, and it would be very costly. The problem with buying a cheap monitor is they change all the time. They break down quite often. So they would see from project to project, I don't have a standard that I can go with to do a digital room sign. So we put the idea together, and we thought, look, we can do this. We know monitors. We can do a high-quality monitor, and we can come in at a price point that can actually save these people money. Hmm. So it's basically Marshall listening to its users, to the systems integrators, and that's where we find our best designs.
That's absolutely true. That's a lot of what's really driven Marshall recently, of really doing the market research to understand the markets. The market's changed so dramatically in the last 10 years, you can hardly recognize where it is where we were 10 years ago. So we have to listen to the trend and then try and use our engineering resources. Of course, the piece I didn't mention was, of course, the piece I'm very involved with, which is IPTV.
Yeah.
Which I've been involved with Marshall now for about 22 months on this development of this particular division. We've been doing security cameras for years, but the decision was to look at that and try and make a broadcast camera out of a security product, and therefore change it. So we the differentiator for us over the last few months as we've gone through our development process is to be making our cameras truly, you know, broadcast compatible. And we could see a real opportunity of that. As budgets have come down, particularly in the broadcasting part, which I know isn't altogether our industry that we're talking to today, but broadcasters no longer have this enormous budget they can do, but they still want to have the most excellent quality. So I want to spend less money and I want to have great quality. So we took the heart of this and did some quite close work with Sony, and we developed a whole range of products now in the IPTV market, which have everything from 5994 to full motion video to 60p. We're probably the only manufacturer in the world that has a switchable encoder decoder in H.264. It's a nice building block, so integrators and dealers can now customize their solution with building blocks. That's what we've been doing, is creating these building blocks and making the IP part of it's as simple as possible. What I've clearly realized at this show, probably more than anything else, is we have three categories of skill set. We have the AV skill set, which is Infocom's very famous for from the beginning of time. We have the IT skill set, and then we have the streaming video skill set. And I think there's been a lot of confusion thinking that if you're an IT guy, you really understand streaming video, and if you're an AV guy, you really understand streaming video. Streaming video is a little different. So what I had to realize some time ago, and we've had an initiative at Marshall to do a lot of training, to actually take the AV professionals and help them make that transition into this new streaming video area. And then on the other side, looking at the IT guys that have to understand some of the streaming video parts and also understand some of the whole excellence of video, because we're dealing with cameras, so white balance and auto exposure and all those things are important elements to understand. Because there was, I realized some time ago, there was a mythology that really, because it was the internet, trying to produce excellent quality video wasn't really important, and nothing could be more incorrect, because literally the quality of what you put in is really important.
Maybe back 5 or 6 years ago that was correct when we were all watching cat videos.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Now we got some decent bandwidth. We can.
I know you like cat videos, Kevin. Yeah, yesterday. All right. Well, guys, thank you very much for coming by. I appreciate it. Yeah. Nigel, I'm pointing the wrong guy. Nigel from Marshall Electronics, and also Devin. I'm going to give you a real quick question as a customer.
Okay.
Can you make me a CRT?
How much money do you have?
No, no, not that. I got the same answer from Singer yesterday about Jeff Singer from Crestron about something. How many do you want? No, just one.
We're coin operators.
If you only want one, that's a really difficult challenge.
Well, actually, two. I have my last CRT is going out in my head end, and I'm very sad about
it. Hey, next time I'm in town, we'll bury it together.
Okay, I appreciate that. All right. Well, guys, thank you very much for coming on. I appreciate it.
Okay. Appreciate it.
All right, Mr. Grimes and Mr. what was your name again, Craig? Brad, can you give me any sort of number or... Can we do hot and cold?
Yeah, I'm sitting here with my BlackBerry. Yes, I said BlackBerry.
Yeah, he's in.
Wow.
That's a last ditch plug for my beloved BlackBerry.
You know what? He still has
a
CRT.
Did I say BlackBerry?
What, really?
Yeah, he has a CRT. You have a CRT.
If I were to guess, I would say there was a lot.
There were a lot. Yeah. There were a lot. I'm sitting here trying to, but we put you so back in the caverns here of the OCC that I can't get any return text messages, but. You know, and we've talked about this before offline, that, you know, the number is not as important as what's going on in the show and the experience everybody has. That said...
it's still important.
This is the biggest show that Infocom's ever had.
Really?
This is the biggest show attendance-wise that we've ever had, Las Vegas or Orlando, which is a, you know, if anybody follows these things, it's... Orlando's usually a little bit smaller than Las Vegas because everyone wants to go to Las Vegas and it draws well from the West Coast. So this show beat all of those, beat all previous records. You know, what I'm trying to get on my BlackBerry. Did I say BlackBerry?
You did, unfortunately.
It's a really nice BlackBerry. Yes.
You know, who was it talking to me? Mark Delvecchia. He's a programmer from California. He not only has a BlackBerry, he has a playbook.
Oh, well,
remember the playbook?
Yeah. I didn't have one of those.
Yeah.
My BlackBerry just dinged.
Okay. Again.
Oh, it's an offer from Ancestry.com. Never mind. But
you can find the Grimes.
That was sent back before you were born.
Before we set a record for Infocom. In all seriousness, yeah, this has been the biggest show ever. So we're grateful to everybody in this room for coming out and being excited about it and participating in everything we do here. Then the next thing we're looking at is, you know, we're looking for a certain threshold of numbers. Yeah. I mean, we've never hit like 35,000 ever. We've thought of getting close, and that's what I'm trying to get on my BlackBerry.
I'll remind you that you said BlackBerry.
Is whether we hit such a number. And, you know, if word comes out in the next hour or so that we did hit such a number, then that would be incredibly exciting. But even if we don't, this is, like I said, the biggest show that we've ever had. And it's really a testament to the industry and the excitement that programs like this and people like y'all in this room have really brought to it. It's like fresh blood, and it's generating more interest, fresh solutions to people who have, you know, information communications problems that they want solved. And I think what you see on the show floor this week is, you know, has been the result of all that. So thank you, everybody. And, you know, we'll look forward to seeing everybody again in Vegas next year.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
No, it was really my pleasure. You know, it's just a little party I put on. No, but.
No, seriously. It's people like you and Jason McGraw and Betsy Jaffe and everybody. I mean, Duffy and you know, everybody that builds the Infocom booth. And I mean, you guys start on this like at 5 o'clock today. You start on next year's.
It's a huge group that works on this. All I do is put on headphones and sit and talk about it. Really, I mean, Jason and his staff, Duffy and everybody. There's hundreds of people here, and they're working really hard. And
what do you think it is that's making this year?
We're going to parse the numbers to figure it out. Like I said earlier, we do believe that a lot of the people who actually use the technology and put it in campuses and put it in healthcare facilities, we think that a lot of them have come out. I don't know if that's a reflection of better, bigger budgets, or I don't know what it's a reflection of. I like to think that the industry in general has just generated a lot more interest in the market, in verticals, you know, everywhere, even from competing industries. I think that we're getting a lot more interest. You know, this is, I think I said it on another podcast, that this is getting to be the center of the technology universe, and people want to be a part of it. And, you know, communications is video. We all see that. Where are you going to find all that? You're going to find it at someplace like Infocom. So we think that, you know, people are getting their customers excited. Their customers are coming to see what all this is about. And, you know, we'd like to speculate that that's what's driving up the numbers. But like I said, at the end of the day, the number isn't as important as whether you all thought it was a worthwhile week and whether you learned anything, whether you went home with any new ideas, new solutions. So we think everybody did, and we'll just try to do the same thing next year.
With that said, you're probably hoping to set a record next year too.
Says the reporter in the room.
Well, that's that we do. We address that as we sit around the table. We're like, okay, should we stop focusing? Because, you know, at some point, you've gotten everybody on the planet to come to your thing, and there is a finite number of people who can fit somewhere. But we'll try to do it better, and we'll try to add different customers to the mix and get new people into the market and get more people excited about what everybody here is doing. And if we can keep doing that, then we're all going to, you know, the rising tide, we're all going to do well.
Absolutely. No. Well, thank you, sir, again, very much for everything with this week.
Make cookies.
Make cookies?
Yeah, make cookies. If you make cookies.
You want Brad to make cookies?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you know if he can cook?
I'll make cookies.
All right,
there you go.
Then I'll be here.
Okay.
Wait, I'll get a recipe on my BlackBerry.
Thank you again, sir, very much. They've been very nice this week. Okay, so who else we have? My buddy Darren Kinsey. How are you, sir?
Doing good.
I almost called you Darren Kramer. You should change your last name.
Sure.
he works for Kramer now. That's why I say that. We had a very nice time the other night. Also, next to him is Ali Dixon from XMOS. How are you, brother?
I'm well.
Good. So let's talk about some stuff this week. First of all, tell people what XMOS does.
So we're a semiconductor manufacturer. So we provide silicon technologies into this market for connecting audio and video devices. So we do things like USB audio for very high-quality recording systems. And what we've been doing here mostly is Ethernet-connected audio systems. So Ethernet AVB has been something that, you know, we've been very involved with and actually really excited to see how well adopted it's becoming in this marketplace. And, you know, walking around the show, I'm looking around and peering around the back of new boxes and things to see little AVB logos all over everything. So,
you guys are heavily into the AVB.
Really excited by, I think what it can promise to this market space.
Yes. Mr. Kimsey?
Yes.
Who's that? Oh, sorry. We have people moving around, and Kevin Iselli just dropped a bottle of something. I think it was Everclear. talk about what Kramer is. First of all, I learned something new from you, which it probably isn't new because I've been learning stuff from you since I met you, which was like 8 years ago now. Darren, by the way, is a very fabulous instructor, and if anybody needs a class, he should do it. He should teach it. As good as Mr. Iselli is, I would say, who is also one of my favorite teachers in this industry. You talk about who Kramer is and what they do, because I learned from you that they, first of all, are based out of Israel, which I didn't know. And after talking with your head of sales the other night, holy cow, you guys have stuff going on all over the world.
We do. We have several offices all over the world. We've been in business now for about 32 years. Kramer is named after our founder, Dr. Kramer. So...
it's a good reason.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice to have a company that is named after someone's name, because now you know that company is going to stand behind anything it makes.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that's right. Dr. Kramer won the AV. Good. Thank you.
The Adele DeBerry Legends of AV.
Yes. Dr. Your boss.
Correct.
Won the Legends in AV award.
Yes, he did.
Yes.
Yeah, so that was so far it's been a great show. Kramer makes outstanding products. We stand behind them. They are all over the world. Our manufacturing is mostly done in Israel. That's where our headquarters is for the U.S. for the world.
Wait a minute.
The U.S. is in New Jersey.
Yeah.
So.
And you're out of Chicago. And I'll tell you what, like I said, I've known Darren a long time, and you've always been very, very good to me. And just talk for a second about what you guys have got, some interesting products. You've got some extenders as well as you have, an HD-based T product. You have one, don't you?
Nobody can see, but Tim is looking really confused right now.
I think you have a product.
We have three.
Okay, so. I thought so, but I'm trying not to sound like an idiot. But I'm like
too late.
No, because I'm going over the last 3 days in my head, and I'm like, I saw one at the HD Base T Alliance booth, and I saw at least one at
your booth, and I'm like, did I really see that, or did I just dream that? Because, well, this is Infocom, and good Lord knows how many products are in my head.
Well, first off,
go ahead. Thanks for
I think it's weird that you're dreaming about
there were also robots getting lunch.
There were robots getting lunch. There were really robots getting lunch.
We've made that product, the first one, for roughly about a year, and now we're launching two more at the show. So it's a great technology. I think somebody at the table either left or they use that word that no one wants to use and call a standard.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's the Valens chip, right? Valens or Villens or Valens, however you want to pronounce it. But it's great because now more and more manufacturers are adopting this. And if we can come up with a way where different manufacturers can talk to different manufacturers, it's just going to make everybody work much, much better and easier. And that's the main point here, is to get everything working together.
All right. What's one or two things that you've seen on the show? Did you get to see on the show?
No, I came to a podcast instead.
Oh, jeez. Never mind. You know what?
But I would like to talk about one product.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So at Kramer, we launched this week a product. It's called a VS62D. It's a 6x2 matrix. But what it has dedicated digital, three dedicated digital inputs. And then the fourth input can be either local or our version of Twisted Pair, which we call DigiCat, which is for digital category. And then two other dedicated DigiCat ports. And with those DigiCat ports, I can take a transmitter that could be analog and put that into this matrix. So I think everybody probably makes a box like that. But what's unique about this box is that I can switch to those different inputs with contact closure. So I can take a Jeopardy button, for lack of better words, and put that at each station around a table for some collaboration, whether it be digital or analog. So now when people are bringing their own device, which seems to be the buzzword for Infocom this year as well, bring your own device. It doesn't matter if it's analog, digital, DisplayPort, HDMI, I can make that work in this collaboration station. So yeah. It's a very unique product, and it's most people seem to like it when they come through the booth. So.
Very cool. Are you excited at all about or is Kramer, or you know, you personally, about the expansions in resolution, you know, up to 4K and all this?
It sounds really awesome. I just I'm waiting for the content to come. But I guess we're going to have to wait and see the content.
One thing is we had a guy on doing one of the Infocom Today podcasts from Blackmagic. And it was neat because we had a guy from Blackmagic and a guy from Christie. So you've got a content creation station, which they have a 4K switcher now and a 4K camera. And then Christie, who's got a 4K display, and I jokingly said, you guys should do lunch sometime, you know, because... Well, that makes sense to me.
Right.
So, yeah, you're right. We just got to crank up some of the content.
Yeah, I think it's back in the day. Anybody that's been old or whatever, you might have had a computer a long time ago, and you got this brand-new video game, and turns out you have to upgrade your VGA card or your monitor to make or RAM to make everything work. And here in the AV world, it's like we've already made now all the hardware, so we're ready for the content to come, which is sometimes not always that way. So it's very exciting that we're already here. We're just waiting for the content.
Yeah. All right. Two more gentlemen here. And actually, real quick, I want to get Craig's thoughts on this before he has to go, because he has a flight, because, you know, he gets to go home tonight. Let me ask you this, and yeah. I apologize, because I'm asking this in front of the chipset maker for ABB. After this show, I'm going to tell you my thoughts first, but I want to get yours. Up until this week, I got the sense that there was a competition between HD Base T and ABB, that there was, you know, it was one or the other type thing. And after this week, I don't know that there is.
Yeah, it's funny you should mention that, because I actually came into the show to work on a story exactly like what you described, the AVB versus HD Base T, the differences, you know, why one over the other, that sort of thing. And what I came to learn is that looks like the two sides are working together, and they're going to try to figure out what they can do with both HD Base T and AVB together. Mm. So there definitely is not. It's definitely not an either or proposition from the sounds of it.
No, I mean, I'm not saying that you can like plug an HD based thing into an AVB,
right, right.
But it also doesn't seem, you know, to use a George Tucker big word, vitriolic.
It's anything but that. They're actually trying to downplay any sort of, you know, industry feeling that they are, you know, kind of going against each other, that sort of thing. So I'll be writing about exactly that.
Good. All right. Well, thank you, sir.
No problem.
It was nice to see you in person finally.
Glad to be here.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Go Patriots. With Tim Tebow. That's all I'm gonna say. Tim Tebow. Now playing the part of Brady. Tim Tebow. All right. We've got a couple more guys on here. We're going to – you have to leave Mr. Tucker. Just jump on here real quick. Thank you, sir, for so much for this entire week. I appreciate it. So, all right. Okay. Moving along. Mark, please pronounce your last name for me.
Hi. Last name is Zekin.
Thank you.
No D, if you please.
You're from Wirestorm. I loved your guys' stuff, by the way.
Thank you.
I was very impressed. I was very impressed.
Thank you. It's our first year.
You've been around for about 3 years. I understand.
Wirestorm has been around for about 3 years.
Okay.
This is our first Infocom. We went to the show in Amsterdam, ISE.
ISE, yes.
Yeah, in January. I joined the company in April.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, so we've been busy doing a lot.
Yeah, you have. Also with us is Rudy Acosta. Your name sounds familiar to me. Have we talked before?
It's possible.
Okay. He's from Altona.
Atlona.
Atlona?
Atlona.
Why do I say Altona? Because I'm dyslexic. Actually, let's get Mr. Greenblatt over here before we get Brock on. Although he's talking, so. Either one of you. You have to go? Well, then, yeah. Let's. Allie, thanks for coming on. Bud.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, Brock, you there, and Steve, you there, and we'll be good to go. All right, guys, so let's do this. Wirestorm, tell me, first of all, you guys are HD based T all the way, 100% in.
Yeah, we're one of the first HD based T adopters. We have some of the largest number. We have the largest, I think, the largest number of products that are HD based T. And it's a very exciting and interesting technology. I've been in the industry about 30 years. I've had some time in the consumer market. And what's interesting is Wirestorm has been in the residential market for about 3 years, and they've got a pretty substantial market share in Europe. It's growing in the U.S. And they gave me a call in April and said, we're interested in getting the commercial business. So I have been watching this digital signal management, all of this digital signal confusion going on over the last few years. It's something that's kind of been my latest interest and hobby. And I said, this HD-based T kind of solves everything that that I've been wondering and thinking about, all this confusion. So,
what's one or two things that you guys are showing this year? And then also, I'll ask you about one of the things that I found fascinating about HD-based T this year.
Well, we introduced a new series of presentation switchers. I think it's going to be a really hot product.
Real quickly,
explain
to people, because you're not the only person who will say this, and Darren will say the same thing, you guys have presentation switchers
sure.
as well.
You bet.
Define for me that, please.
It's analog and digital, a 9-input, 1-output switcher with a microphone used in a presentation environment where someone's up standing, make a presentation as an audio speaker and that sort of thing.
Okay.
I concur.
Yeah.
Sure, you bet.
We have a consensus. Move on.
And also,
doctor.
We introduced a line of fully modular, because the residential product did not need this, but we have a modular chassis for 8x8, and we're now moving up towards 16x16 matrix switching equipment. And, you just can't throw this hardware out into the industry. You've got to have some kind of control solution. So we came up with a web-based controller called Inato, which is a cross-platform user interface.
Is that a configurable, or is it just it comes up and you're controlling the stuff?
It's, it can be configured by an AV, pro AV technician, or a lot of end users, like in the, federal courts and such, they have IT departments that have programmers and such, they're able to do it too. So The focus is on the end user and ease of use, an easy way to set it up.
All right, so one thing I found interesting at the HD Base T Alliance Pavilion, where I saw the one product from Kramer, at least one. I'm sure I saw one. Anyway, you guys, or they were showing, I shouldn't say you guys, power over HD Base T. Is that something that you guys are going to try to work into it, or is it as an Alliance member, and I can ask you this too, Darren, when it comes to what they're pushing, is it one of those things where you can say, oh, that's a nice feature, we're not doing it, though, you know?
I believe that's pretty much it. I mean, it's supposed to have where you can do Ethernet, audio, video, control, and power, but I think it's up to the manufacturer to decide what they're going to have go down that line.
Okay.
So it's kind of like a pipe for plumbing with water. If I have all those things together, I can only go so far. But if I take out Ethernet, for instance, now I can push my AV signal further. So I think it's up to the manufacturer and how they want to utilize those chips.
Okay, that makes sense. Then do you concur with that?
I think it's pretty cool. And, I mean, right now it's 100 watts.
Yeah.
And I think organic LED... if someone would throw out a price point, I saw a couple of nice displays on the show floor that you couldn't take any pictures of. I mean, no pricing was announced yet, but I think that when organic LED is more mainstream, I think it will blow, you know, the market will blow open for in this kind of technology. All five components running down that cable.
What would happen is because the OLED wouldn't be taking as much power as a traditional even backlit OLED, you know, backlit LED. So you're just waiting for it, aren't you?
No, all right. I think it'd be great. I know.
There is a product on the floor.
There is. By the way, this is Brock McGinnis, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi.
The world's best Canadian.
There is a product on the floor that is carrying 150 watts of power and HDMI. And bidirectional RS-232 over a single shielded twisted pair cable. Altenex is offering it. Apparently they have a lot of patents on it. I don't think it's a part of the HD-based T standard. I think it's their own approach to it. Mm-hmm. It was one of the most remarkable things that I saw on the floor today.
Really?
Yeah. Very cool. Because it allows us to put, allows us to put a display up in a place where there is no power. And 150 watts will power pretty much any commercial LED display up to about 70 inches, which is 145 watts.
Wow. I think part of the problem is, though, is with displays, we're trying to, you see, if you walk the show floor, I know that they're out there. You have many displays that now have the HD-based T input in them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's up to that manufacturer if they want to accept the power and control into that input, or then they just have to buy the receiver box, and now it's kind of outdone the purpose of HD-based T. So I think there's going to have to be some more consortium of how this all works out.
Some more talking.
But I think the power thing is great. And I knew that Altenex was making it, but on the display side, it'd be great because I know like Panasonic has a projector and a display, and Epson has a projector, but using that HD-based T input, I don't think they all allow the control or the Ethernet through that. Yeah. It's just the audio-video.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's there yet, but it's exciting because more and more manufacturers are getting on board with it, so that's the exciting part about it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, guys, thank you so much, Darren. It's good to see you, sir.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you much. Mark, it's good to see you. Thanks for coming by. Real quickly, what does Atlona do? What does your company do?
We do products very similar to what Kramer and Wirestar manufacture. We're in the matrix switch business. We also have distribution amplifiers, extenders, and tons of converting and scaling solutions, and a couple of test kit and wireless AV solutions as well.
Well, very cool. So what's one or two things that you guys brought to the Infocom this year?
We introduced our new 6x6 matrix switch. It's a HDMI in, HD-based output. The last two outputs are marrying HDMI as well, so we've got some versatility with that product. The HD-based outputs are also supporting a local SPDIF breakout, something that's unique to our product line. And we've got some interesting wall plate solutions. We've to pair with our box solutions extenders. Now you can go into a wall plate. And also, we've introduced what we call an HDVS product that will take in HDMI as well as VGA and scale it at the receiving end, which is a pretty unique solution that we're really excited to get out into the marketplace.
Do you do any sort of, well, if you had to choose between HD-based T and AVB, which one, I mean, would you do one or the other?
We are heavily involved with HD-based T as a partner. So our entire family of products, you're going to find HD-based T within and throughout.
Okay. Very good.
Absolutely.
All right. Let me introduce two more gentlemen. I kind of introduced Brock real quickly, but not officially. You are Brock McGinnis. How are you, brother?
I am well. Glad to be here, Tim.
Yeah, glad to have you. And my partner for the Control Show, the State of Control, Mr. Steve Greenblatt from Control Concepts. How are you, sir?
Great. How are you?
Doing well. And also his lovely, right, currently she's your right hand. So how are you, ma'am?
Doing great.
Good. All right, guys. We'll get you get this out of the way and then let you get on your way. What did you see any of the other show floor at all?
I wish I had the opportunity to walk the floor. I've been working the booth.
All right. Well, I will let you go do that. Thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. All right, gentlemen. You're smarter than me. You're both working integration and control and programming. What's one or two things that you, besides the is it the Muse?
That's what it's called, I think, yeah. From Altenex.
Is there something else maybe that kind of struck you as, oh my gosh?
I saw a lot of oh my gosh products that I think have direct immediate applications that are going to help customers do what they do better, which is really what we do. The folks at Mersive,
okay,
who have a software-based windowing application for video and presentation application, I think it's called Solstice. That was a real aha product. Panasonic had a short throw lens on a projector, an ultra short throw lens that actually went on a real large, 9,000 lumen single chip DLP that allows you to put the projector as close as 33 inches from a wall.
Excuse me?
33 inches and achieve a plus 100 inch diameter with a real projector, not the kind of typical truncated.
What's the ratio on that? Have to think be like 0.3?
It's lower than that. It's 0.2 something.
No!
And it's spectacular. The image quality is
Holy
great.
Cow, I so miss that.
It's a major problem solver. Our rental staging division will use it. We'll use it in installations.
Less than 0.3. Jeez.
And it's a lens attachment. You're not buying a special projector for it. It bayonets in to their existing product line.
But see, that's
6,000, 7,000, 8,000. It's huge. Yeah. It's a problem solver.
That right there is huge because there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing against the short throws, but they, to me, they look a little weird. I'll be honest. And
they have very limited capabilities.
Yeah.
There's specific. This is also zoomable. So you don't have to find that exact as an installer, exact perfect position. Yes. You can hang it approximately where you want it to go, or in the rental staging, lay it out on the floor, sandbag it down, and then focus it. So that was, to us, that was a real practical advance that we saw here.
Yeah, absolutely. Mr. Greenblatt, you guys, not only are you here as a attendee, I guess, but you're also an exhibitor of sorts. You were at the Crestron GUI Gallery.
Sure.
With your company. Tell people, first of all, what that is about and what you guys did.
So it was formerly the GUI Gallery, then the Touchscreen Design Gallery, now the Crestron Services Provider Pavilion.
Oh, that's right,
which
CSP.
New name, but it's basically a collection of independent programming companies or solutions providers, and each of the members gets an opportunity to display their work and have a kiosk to have a home base and a presence on the show floor. And it's a great opportunity because we can give our customers and our friends a place to come find us, and also network with our peers. And it's almost like a nice little party zone. for independent programmers. So
because that's what Quest or Infocom needs is a party.
Oh yeah.
Because
yeah.
there aren't enough of those.
Yeah. Well, we're missing one big one. So.
Which one? No, we had ours last night. It was a tweet up. It was fabulous.
Oh yes, it sure was.
And you know what? And who was it? Vadio gave out tweakers, so we're not missing anything. sorry. So talk a little bit about what's because I know you didn't just stand there all day. What are one or two things that you saw on the show floor that was like wow?
So my perspective's a little different. What I found this year is that I really renewed my enthusiasm about trade shows. Actually, I come to meet people and to talk about what's the latest and greatest, what do the trends look like, and renew relationships and solicit a little bit, but it's there was some more optimism I think this year than in recent years past, and it was just an enjoyable show. I mean, I got to not only talk with you guys, which I think was real valuable, but speak to some people about some of the recent podcasts we've done,
oh, yeah.
and get some feedback on that, give us some opportunities for the future, and just network with other business owners too. From my perspective, that has a lot of value.
Absolutely, Brock, real quick, because I know you want to get back on the show floor because you've got TV people to meet. As an integrator, Brad Grimes said this a couple times, and I've actually heard Sam Malik from Premier Mount make this comment to me yesterday, kind of offline. This was a year of getting things done, like basically getting deals done. As an integrator, did you get that feel where where people on the show floor were actually looking for actual product, and you know what, I've got this solution. I'm looking for something, and if the deal's right, I'm going to give you a PO right there on the show floor.
I can't speak for the other integrators on the floor, but we had a couple of very specific things, problems that we needed to solve for clients. I had never seen 1.9 mil pixel pitch LED direct view LED screens. There were two of them on the floor. Both of those companies, I have a project that I can only use something as thin as that. Did I write them $1.5 million PO? No, not yet. But
you're going to.
But at least now we know that there's a solution for what our client needs us to do. And there were a few other things as well that really impressed us, Tim. It was the year of wireless presentation capabilities, mm-hmm. for sure. You know, with new product from Crestron, an extension of the ClickShare, the new product from Christie, and a number of other providers that are going to make it real simple for any user to come into a meeting room and get their content up on the screen. So that was pretty positive.
Okay.
Some lower cost ways of doing things. AMX's lower cost touch panels.
Those were neat, weren't they?
Pretty good. Yeah, pretty yeah. good.
I mean, let's not be crass here. It's not the Madero. Right.
No,
it's
no.
It is
the Madero. It's the Madero.
The Madero S. Actually, we have AMX coming up here in a second. But it is. You're right. Like you said it right. A lower cost version of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Couple of advancements in the audio industry. People are the networking of audio, and Dante is becoming much more pervasive, much easier to access. Some AVB. Audio transport as well that we're very interested in our practice. People are finding ways to provide higher quality at lower prices, and that's what our customers want.
So excellent.
Walmart AV.
Well, don't you do that. Don't you do that. Well, thank you so much for coming by, sir. It was very nice to see you in person again.
Always a pleasure.
Absolutely, sir. All right. He is. His name is Brock McGinnis. He has the world's best name, and he's the world's best the world's best Canadian, as opposed to my buddy Matt Scott, who's the world's worst Canadian.
That's all the time we're going to have for this episode of AV Week. Please stay tuned next week. We're going to play part two of our conversation live from Infocom 2013. Sean Robinson from AMX, The guys from Beam will stop by, Harry Mead and a host of others. So please check that out next Monday. In the meantime, go by our website, avnation.tv. Avnation.tv, you'll find this podcast, a host of others as well, our State of Control, our Control podcast, a revamped AV Social or Education podcast, and others. You can check us out on Facebook, on LinkedIn, Google+, and Twitter. AVNation, avnation.tv. Thanks so much for listening. That's all the time we have for AV Week.